You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Tim Link. Thank you for joining us today. My guest today is Larry Levin. He'll be talking with us today about his recently released book, Oogie, The Dog Only a Family Could Love. And Oogie illustrates how a dog, by given a second chance with people that love him, persevered to overcome the greatest of odds. And it's a great book, and we'll talk a lot about Oogie. I'm sure Oogie is there with us as well, so we're going to be excited to talk to Larry about that. But first, before we get started, I always like to give everybody little tidbits, bits of news, things that I think are interesting, exciting. And today we're going to be talking about the Holland Military Working Dog Hospital. Now, the Holland Military Working Dog Hospital is located at Lakeland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. Now, this hospital's main purpose is to care for the health needs of the more than 2,000 working dogs currently serving in the military. The Transportation Safety Board, the TSA, the U.S. Customs Service, and other government agencies. Approximately 60 dogs per year are seen at the hospital for everything including regular checkups to life-threatening emergencies. The director is Colonel Bob Vogelsong. And Colonel Vogelsong was quoted recently in an article on People Pets magazine and online as saying these dogs are veterans, and they're veterans too, like any other veteran served in the war. We should be taking care of them, and that's exactly what they do at Holland Military Working Dog Hospital. So I applaud them for the great work that they're doing. I applaud them for taking care of the animals, realizing that the dogs are veterans and serve their purpose, serve their duty for America, and help everyone out. So you can learn more about the dogs and learn more about the Holland Military Working Dog Hospital by going to my blog on Pet Life Radio. That's PetLifeRadio.com. Click on the animal rights little picture, and that'll lead you over to my website, which you can read more about the articles, and it'll have the links on there as well. So big kudos down to the folks in San Antonio, Holland Military Working Dog Hospital, to take care of those veteran dogs. So we applaud them. Now we're going to go take a break here briefly, but we'll be right back with Larry Levin to talk about Oogie. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
"So how do you feel about cat condos?"
we can say from experience,
"Feels like home. For her."
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
There's a movement afoot. ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com. Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Oh.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is Larry Levin, who recently released his New York Times best-selling book, Oogie, the Dog Only a Family Could Love.
Good afternoon.
Larry, good to hear from you. Congratulations on the success of the book, and congratulations on realizing Oogie is a valuable part of your family.
Well, thank you very much. I would say the first part about the dog came easy. The part about the book has been quite another adventure. Nobody would have ever guessed that it would end up where it ended up.
Absolutely. Well, I think when you put the right and perfect words out there, and you put the right and perfect message and love out there, amazing things can happen. And that's exactly what's happened with Oogie. And this is your first book.
It is my first book. And which may be one reason why I don't feel any. I keep telling my wife that I should feel different, but I don't. And it may be because I'm not a young man. And so things have plodded along the way they have for a good long while. And aside from seeing the notification on the book cover that it's a New York Times bestseller, there really hasn't been any change in our lives whatsoever, except we've met some really great people that we probably wouldn't have otherwise gotten to meet.
It's a great, heartwarming story, Oogie. It's a lot of fun. And now, Oogie's been with your family since 2002.
Yes.
So what finally inspired you to write the book about him?
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the story. We were initially... I was asked by a local rescue to do a short piece on Oogie, and this was, I guess, about 2006. They were starting, at that time, the movement was starting to get more accurate recognition for fighting dogs, and or the bully breeds, I should say, and what great pets they can be. So I wrote this short article about Oogie, and unbeknownst to me, it started kicking around the internet, and one day in February of 2008, I believe it was, one evening, it's like 6:30 in the evening, and I was making dinner for the boys, and the telephone rang, and this young woman introduced herself as being from some production company that I'd never heard of, and would I be interested in telling my story on television? So we talked for a while, and then she said, well, that sounds great. Can you come out here next week? I said, there's no way I can come out there next week. My wife's an attorney. One boy's on the wrestling team. The other plays winter lacrosse, you know, maybe by April. And she said, no, we want to put you on our Valentine's Day show, and we're filming that next week. I said, there's just no way I can do it. What's the name of the show? And the woman said, it's the Oprah Winfrey Show. So I said, okay, we'll be there. So, just, you know, I was easy. So I drove Oogie out because the vet said that's the least stressful way for him to travel. Oogie can't be in a crate. He associates being in a steel crate with having his face torn apart. And I wouldn't leave him alone for that long, you know, in an unfamiliar place. Anyway, so I drove out, and my wife and the boys flew out, and they flew back, and I drove back. And then a young man who had just finished 8 years as an editor was starting a new job as a literary agent, and I was his first phone call. And he said, have you ever thought about writing about this? And I've always wanted to write, and in fact, when the boys went away to college, they were juniors at the time in high school. When they went away to college, I had planned on writing some of the things I've been carrying around with me to write, never had the time to do. And I said, sure, let's give it a try. And 3 or 4 months later, he sold the idea. And I finished the first draft and got the first draft back. And a quarter of it was gone without explanation, just whole chapters with lines through them. And so I had a few words to say to my editor. And after, you know, 4 or 5 days, the proverbial light bulb went on, and I saw what she was challenging me to do. And so what started out as the story that I wrote didn't end up being the story that we finished with, because she challenged me, and she took me great places, places I wouldn't have gone myself. And so what started out as a book about Oogie and a book about rescue ended up also being about my sons, who were adopted when they were 3 days old, and issues of rescue beyond the superficial one of we lucked out and took this dog home, or took the dog home and lucked out, as it turns out. You know, there was no... I don't know that I would have been so quick to jump in if I knew then what I knew now about the problems that you can encounter with an abused dog, but there never were any complications, there never were any problems. He's always been happy to be here, so he made it easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and for the listeners out there, I'm sure everybody's aware of the book, but definitely pick up a copy and read through it. It's just a great book, a warm story. And, you know, Oogie was used for a bait dog in a dogfighting ring. But tell the listeners a little bit more about how Oogie came into your life, because, you know, I'm a firm believer that animals pick us.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt. And I know it sounds silly. You have to realize that Oogie was about somewhere between 3 and 4 months old when this happened to him. So he's a dog that never knew any human kindness. And after his face was torn apart, and I mean literally, he lost the left side of his face from just behind his muzzle to back where his ear was. He was just thrown into a cage and left to die. And the vet who saved him, Dr. Bianco, estimates that he lay in that condition for up to a week. 5 to 7 days, no food, no water, no medicine, bleeding and becoming fully infected. And something kept that dog alive. And when we met him, he had been at the animal hospital for about 3 weeks. And I can only describe it as though as soon as he saw us, he recognized us. It's like he'd been waiting for us. And one of the boys went down. The boys were 12 at the time. And they were bringing Oogie out of the back of the animal hospital for a walk. We had a cat that was dying, so we had taken the cat over there, and the technician was bringing this little white dog out, and the dog literally tore the leash out of her hand, and Noah had gone down on one knee, and Oogie rocketed into him so hard he knocked him over, and then just stood on him licking him. I mean, it sounds unbelievable, but I saw it. Yeah. I was there, so.
It's like a regular Hallmark moment there.
I can still see the dog knocking Noah over. And I don't anthropomorphize animals, but I do know that they have, you know, when I was growing up years ago, dogs were sort of like, they weren't part of the family. Mm-hmm. A dog was a pet. You know, it was right. Sort of like, maybe even like a card, sort of like a living card table. I don't know how to describe it. Not long ago, somebody said to me, if Oogie could talk to you for 5 minutes, what do you think he'd say? And I said, Oogie and I talk all the time. You just have to learn how to listen.
Ah, brilliant. I love that answer. Being an animal communicator, I love that. I'm going to quote
it's pretty amazing what goes on that way. And I never had the experience before, but we share a wavelength, and so we get along really well.
You have that connection, that heart connection. And like you said, you open up your heart, open up your mind to it, and they definitely talk to you.
And they Oogie definitely does that. Do. And he Absolutely. Definitely understands things that I say to him. There's verbal communication. There's nonverbal communication. When I take his collar off, he knows he's gone for a walk, and he gets really excited. But sometimes I can just say to him, you want to go for a walk? And or you want to go? If I said to him, do you want to go to the park, he'll go bananas. He knows. He understands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a break here just in a moment, but we're going to come back with Larry Levin, talk about Oogie, the dog only a family could love. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PETMEDS. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Celebrate your special occasion and give her this classic semi-eternity band created with 1-carat brilliant diamonds, channel set in 14-carat white gold. Exclusively yours from ICE.com. Free shipping over $150, free returns, and 30-day money-back guarantee.
Go to ICE.com and use promo code ACTFP and get 20% off your purchase. Or use promo code ADTFP and get 20% off at Diamond.com. ice.com or diamond.com. Get 20% off from Pet Life Radio.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, we're back with Larry Levin on Animal Rights with Pet Life Radio. Now, I've got to ask you one thing. When you take a look at the beautiful picture of Oogie on the cover, everybody would assume when you first take that glance, you think, well, he's an American Pit Bull Terrier. But you found out, and we found out, that he's not actually an American Pit Bull Terrier.
No, I think that's Dr. Bianco. It might be his most professionally embarrassing moment, was to tell me that Oogie was an American Pit Bull Terrier and that he'd weigh about 55 pounds when he was fully grown, and 6 months later, when we went back for the first checkup, he was already 75 pounds. And I remember walking in the door of the animal hospital, and the technician sitting behind the desk said, "That's a dogo." And I said, "What's a dogo?" And she started to laugh, and she said, "I'm not sure." So when I got home, I went online, and the first picture that I saw of the breed looked exactly like Oogie, exactly like Oogie. The Dogo Argentino, mm-hmm. I've read it's the most genetically engineered breed on the planet. I read that. I don't know if it's accurate. There are 9 different dogs that went into the breed that was developed in Argentina in the 1920s to hunt mountain lion and wild boar. The mountain lion are terribly destructive of livestock, and wild boar are terribly destructive of crops. And in fact, they have the same problem in the Southwest. They hunt dogos in the American Southwest, and they hunt in packs. And Oogie is actually small for the breed. He weighs 85 pounds because he was starved as a pup. But the males normally weigh around 100 to 110 pounds. And they're military dogs. They're drug dogs. They're rescue dogs. They're a great breed because they're also bred to be family animals.
Yeah, they're very, very family-oriented, member of the Mastiff group, which basically are worker dogs, they're hunting dogs, they're protectors, they have all the good stuff inside of them.
Some of them have a much more Mastiff kind of face, the rounded forehead. Oogie's kind of narrow. I mean, I've seen pictures of other dogos that look just like him, but the others, you can tell that there's Mastiff in the breed. They were bred with the Spanish Mastiff, was one of the dogs that was used to develop the breed.
Fantastic. Now, I got to go back to asking you about your best friend now, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
So here you are. You wrote an article, got a little bit of traction. Next thing you know, producer for Oprah's group calls you, has you out there because you can't say no to Oprah. I understand that. And then most recently, they listed Oogie in O Magazine as one of the 16 recommended books for dog lovers. How's that changed things? I know you said earlier that it hasn't really changed your life. Maybe it hasn't sunk in, but with being on Oprah and then being in O Magazine as one of the 16 recommended dog books out of all the different dog and animal books out there, how's that changed for you and Oogie?
I told my wife I know what it's like to date George Clooney, because when I go out, people will come up to me and go, "Didn't I see your dog on television?" you know, it's never me. You know, he's so unmistakable looking. You know, there aren't a lot of white 85-pound one-eared dogs around. So once you see what Oogie looks like, you remember him if you see him again. I got a call the following summer. We were on Valentine's Day show in 2008. And the following summer, a friend of mine called from Dublin, and she had just seen the show in Dublin. And later that summer, we were down. My wife and I were getting some ice cream, and a guy came up to me and said, "Was your dog on television last week?" And I said, "No." We were on television in February. He said, "Well, I was in Israel last week, and I saw your dog on television." So he's been all over the world.
International superstar.
Yeah, it hasn't gone to his head, though. But, you know, the book's coming out in the UK, I think, Saturday. It's also going to be published in Italy, in Indonesia, and it's already been published in Portugal and I think Brazil, because I got two copies of the Portuguese book, and a woman we know is from Portugal, so I gave her one.
Wow, fantastic. Now, any plans for the next Oogie book or the children's edition?
Well, actually, there's lots of talk. We're going to do Oogie Tees, and whatever profits are made, we're going to donate to various rescues. I'd like to set up Dr. Bianco has never, nobody at Ardmore Animal Hospital has ever charged a dime for anything they've done for Oogie. I mean, it's sort of like that was their gift to us because they were so gratified. You know, if the police had taken, this is 8 years ago, the story is that Oogie was found in a drug bust. If the police, as they are now required to do, had taken him to the SPCA then, he'd have been euthanized on the spot. And in fact, the emergency room that was at the animal hospital wasn't part of the hospital, just used the facilities, hadn't done any work on him other than bandage him up pretty much. And they were going to send him to the SPCA. And the woman who runs the hospital knew that if that happened, he'd be killed. So she got Dr. Bianco to try and save the dog. At first, he thought he could not do it. In fact, he told her, he said, "Diane, I don't think I can save this dog." And she said, "Dr. Bianco, you've got to save this dog." So he operated for hours to save the dog. But anyway, I'm getting away from my point. I'd like to set up a fund so that if people come to Ardmore Animal Hospital and need work that they can't afford, maybe there'll be some money available to contribute to the services. You know, I could make $6 out of selling T-shirts. I could make $600. I have no way of knowing. But we're also going to do Oogie soft toys. And the same thing will happen. Whatever money is made by way of profit will go to rescue and to save animals.
Fantastic. So, well, that's a big kudos to you for that. Keep us posted on that, please, and we'll help you get the word out.
Well, thanks. Well, if I can figure out how to get a web page going. I told you before, technology and I, it's like when I used to go down to my in-laws' house, you would see the clock on the VCR flashing. And I think that as a general rule, the younger you are, the more technologically adept you are.
Yeah.
So I had to go up to New York to the publisher to get tutored on how to – Oogie's got a Facebook page.
Yeah, Oogie's got a Facebook page. Everybody sign up and friend Oogie on that.
And I had to go up to New York so they could teach me how to do it.
It's hard to keep up with technology. Yeah, before I started working with animals full-time, I spent 20 years in telecommunications with advanced cellular phone technologies, and been out of that business for a while now, and I think it's already slipped me by. There's so much stuff you can do with those devices now.
You know, I'm reading The Lost Dogs now. Somebody gave it to me as a gift, and that's a pretty powerful book.
Yeah, it is. Very powerful book, great book, and I had an opportunity when the whole Michael Vick thing came down, being from Georgia, to be involved in some of that as far as going down to the legislature and talking to them about anti-dog fighting laws. And actually, the good news from that book and all that tragedy that happened is now in Georgia and other places, we're realize how bad it is, and we're starting to do some things about it. We have some laws.
Oh, yeah. That's Oogie and I, when I say we. We've started to go into schools in the area to talk about dog fighting. We've been to two so far. I've got two more scheduled, and we're involved with a couple of organizations that are very active in combating breed-specific legislation. So, as I said, to me, the major change in my life has been all these wonderful people. You hear a lot about what I found, what I came to believe is that for all the people that are doing horrible things to animals, there are even more people doing great things for animals. And the rescue networks are so amazing, and people do the most amazing things. You just don't hear about them as much. You know, plane crashes get the news. So, you know, the equivalent of, you know, pit bulls. Up until the moment that I met Oogie and the doctor told me he was a pit bull, you couldn't have gotten me into the same room as one with a pit bull because I was so prejudiced by all the negative publicity. But, you know, they're a wonderful, wonderful breed of dog. And I heard a great story the other day, which is actually, it's the genesis. I started writing another book, and it's a book about a guy who saves a dog. And what gave me the idea is a woman whose husband received a terrible head injury in Iraq, and he's lost the ability to concentrate, so he can't work. And she read him the book, and he wants to meet Oogie. So I told her that they live across the state. So I said, when the weather gets nice, we'll figure out a place to meet, and I'll drive, and I'll meet you. You know, no sense you're driving 5 hours. I can drive 2 hours and meet you or something. But they have a rescued pit bull, and when her husband has a nightmare, the dog will lick him awake and then just sleep next to him.
Absolutely.
And that story grabbed me so much that gave me the idea for the book that I'm writing now.
Fantastic. Well, keep us abreast on the progress of that. They are definitely, pit bulls are a great breed, great family breed, and they definitely know how to take care of a family.
When they were first bred, they were called nanny dogs, or known as nanny dogs, because
That's right.
They were so protective and loving of the family. You know, there are three, I don't have the statistics in front of me, and I won't tell you what the breeds were in case I have the information wrong, but there were three other breeds of dogs who had more dog attacks than pit bulls. In the last figures I heard were for 2008, I think, or 2009. So one of which is America's most popular family dog attacked more people than pit bulls did that year. So,
absolutely.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, Larry, but I do want to mention a quote. You recently were quoted in a People Pets article as saying, "What we've learned is you can't avoid bad things happening. You can't let them define who you are. You have to wait and see what's going to come out of the other end."
Oh, you know, I can give you a real-life example of that. My one son was a top-flight wrestler, and he was slated to be captain of the wrestling team and co-captain of the football team and co-captain of the lacrosse team his senior year. And he quit football because he said to the coach, "I have no future as a 165-pound football player, and I can't put on 25 pounds and take it off for wrestling. It affects my grades." So he wrestled starting in June, he wrestled 5 days a week and worked out. And the third match of the season in November, he tore the tendon in his elbow, and he lost the entire season. I mean, he literally wept in my arms. Mm. And he came back with 2 weeks left, and he went to the tournament, and he not only won the district tournament, but he was the first and only wrestler in the history of the school to be voted by the coaches the outstanding wrestler in the tournament, because they knew what he had gone through to get there. And about a week later, he and I are sitting around, and I said, "Did you learn anything from your dog that helped you through this?" And he said, "Yeah, I did." And I was surprised. I said, "Really, what?" And he said, and I will phrase it for the radio, he said, "Stuff happens, but you can't let it define who you are."
There you go. Great lessons. And Oogie teaches us once again, huh?
You don't know where it's going to end up. The worst things can happen, and they're not going to stay there. I mean, Oogie is living proof that you can go through the most awful experience and come out fine on the other side.
That's right. It's a great example from Oogie.
By the way, I took a note of, I want to get that information on Colonel, I think it's Vogelsong, Bob Vogelsong.
Yeah, that's it.
I was told that Walter Reed Army Hospital will not allow any of the pit bull breeds in as therapy dogs. Hmm. And so I promised myself that I would see what I could do about that.
Absolutely. Well, go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on my icon, Animal Rights, and that'll lead you to the article so you can learn more about
that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, I appreciate you being on board with us today. We've been talking to Larry Levin about Oogie, the dog only a family could love. Larry, I appreciate you coming on Animal Rights.
Thank you for letting me talk on and on.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a great pleasure.
Opportunity.
Absolutely. Keep us abreast of what's going on in your
life
with the new book.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'd also like to thank Larry Levin and Oogie for being on my show today. And thanks to our sponsors and producers for making the show possible. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and other podcasts that I have done on the Animal Rights Show and my blog on Pet Life Radio, please go to PetLifeRadio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all of the other hosts and shows on Pet Life Radio. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, or any authors, writers, or bloggers you'd like to see on the show, please email me at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll do my very best to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and see if we can get the writers on the show that you want to hear the most. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. Share it in a blog, article, or book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.